Man, I did walk back in. I was going to clean my glasses and come back, and I clearly saw that there was a mic left on my Bible. And so I come this morning. I have something that I had been working on. And normally when you go to meetings like this, you preach something you've already preached out. Normally. Well, this morning it's going to be a little different for me. It'll be something I've not preached before, before our people. And I'm thankful, though, Brother Ronnie, for the opportunity. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, the book of 1 Samuel, I'll just give you where I'm at this morning with our people. We've been looking at the life of David. And I try to be mindful to the Lord this morning. 1 Samuel Chapter 17. As we get to chapter 17, you remember in chapter 16, and David has been since anointed as king, now soon to be ruler over the kingdom of Israel, since Saul and his rebellion, if you will, and disobedience unto God. And now we see the hand of God moving and working in David's life. And now as we come to chapter 17, we find David going towards a battle that he has no idea what's before him. And he has no idea what's ahead of him. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 20, and we'll read down. I will stop whenever we feel like we need to stop. In verse 20 of chapter 17, the book of 1 Samuel, the Bible says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper and of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath, by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?' And the people answered him after this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done to the man that killeth him.' And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I done now? Is there not a cause?'" Boy, what a question David proposes. Verse 30, "And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth.' and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth, that being the lamb. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. God, we thank you for this day you've given us. God, we thankful, Lord, that we live in a country where we're able to come and gather freely, God, with an open Bible, and to proclaim, thus saith the word of God. God, would you help us this morning as we try to outline these simple truths that are found within your word. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name that I do pray. Amen. It is very common when we think of characters in the Bible and many different men that we see in our lives. We think of major instances in their lives. And of course, when we come to the character of David, we immediately think of two instances, do we not? We think of his great rise and his what? Great fall. We think of that of Goliath, and we think of that of Bathsheba. And we think of those two instances, and everything else seems to be watered under the bridge. But as David goes towards one of these major events that we find in his life, his high point, if you will, the beginning, the pinnacle of his soon-to-be coming reign, we find that there are some battles that he faces before. There are some battles that he faces before he faces the Goliath giant. Number one, we would say he faces discouraging speech. It's a battle of discouraging speech. Words have meaning, do they not? Words carry weight. This phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm not a very old man. I'm just 31 years old. But I know better than that. I know I've lived a little bit longer to know a little bit better than that. Discouraging speech. We find as he arrives on the scene, the first one that he comes in contact with are these men. And he's hearing Goliath. And the one that really, I guess, cuts the most about this discouraging speech is the relatives that are there. The relatives that are there, his brother Eliab, you see there in verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. No doubt, as me being the eldest brother of three, I know how it is when baby brother or little brother comes around and starts standing up and doing things that I've ought to have been doing. No doubt this was Eliab as he heard David standing up for the things of God and standing up for the kingdom of Israel and standing up for God's people. No doubt Eliab's anger was kindled against him for these things, for pride's sake and for anger. Doesn't it cut deep when we find in our lives that it seems like those that are the closest begin to speak discouraging words towards you and I? They cut the deepest. They cut the deepest in our lives, and we don't feel like we can go on because they have such a close relationship with us. Not only do we see the relatives that speak this discouraging speech, but also we see the ones that are reverenced that speak these discouraging words as he comes before Saul. There in verse 33, he says, "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." And what's the reasoning that he gives? He says, "For thou art but a youth." Might I say, you're never too young to stand for God. You're never too young to do the things of God. Despite what others may say, despite what others may do, stand for God. The verses come to mind of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a" what? "Living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your" what? "Reasonable service." There's no age limit on standing for God and doing the things of God. No matter you may be young and a babe in Christ, or whether you're the seasoned veteran, you must stand for God and His Word. As he faces these discouraging speeches, he also has a disciplined response. He has a disciplined response. He keeps in the forefront of his mind, we see that there is a cause. In verse 29, he says, "And David said, What have I now done?" In other words, why are you mad at me? I ain't done nothing but done what I'm supposed to. And yet you're coming at me. Boy, ain't that like the world. Especially those relatives. Those of close relations that we find. When we stand up for right and we stand up for the things of God, they seem to come at you. And you're like, what have I done? Do you not remember? Do you not recall the Scriptures? He's disciplined in his response. He says, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Child of God, there is a cause this morning to stand for the things of God. The one that has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, that is reason enough, that is cause enough for you and I to stand boldly for the things of God. But oftentimes we let discouraging speech get in our way and hinder us. Not only does he have disciplined speech disciplined response when speaking to his relatives, but we also see he has disciplined response and a controlled speech when speaking to those that are reverenced. Now, when he goes before Saul, in verse 32, I find it interesting how he first addresses Saul. He says, "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him." Now, he could have said, "Saul, don't let your heart trouble you." He could have. But he was smart. He was disciplined. In my young age, it is very easy for me, and what gets me in trouble the most is these two little things right here. I can be very quick-tempered. Now, don't sit out there and act like you're holier than thou. The thing that gets us in trouble the most, we must be subtle with our speech. We must be sure of our speech when it comes out. And even as he's speaking to Saul, look in verse 34. "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant." Now, as he's putting reverence on Saul, "Thy servant. Thy servant kept his father's sheep." And then he goes on speaking more there. You and I should be careful in how we speak and whom we speak it to. In other words, as I would say, don't be going and talking crazy. Be mindful of your speech when discouraging speech comes about. Secondly, we not also see the battle of discouraging speech, but we also see the distractive substances before him. The distractive substances, number one, you see the distracting substances of reward. Look back in verse 25. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man," here's the reward, "that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." The distractive substances that are before David, he could have been in awe and instruct about these rewards and could have gone after merely just for these rewards. But we also see devotion in his response, do we not? Devotion in his response in verse 26. "David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine?" Look how he says it now. "And taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he defies the armies of the living God?" He has a devotion towards God. He is devout towards God in the things of God. No matter what rewards that lay before him, as preachers in here this morning, be mindful and be careful of what rewards I use loosely that are set before you. As a child of God, be mindful and be careful for the distractive substances that are before you, that of money that is placed before David, that of a wife or women. Be very mindful. And that of freedom or financial surety. Be mindful. Be focused. Be devout in your response. Not also the distractive substances of the reward, but also the resource. As David has now told Saul that he's going to fight, that he's going to do the thing that he has been called to do in verse 38, look at how Saul gives him his armor. Verse 38, "And Saul armed David with his armor and put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off." The distractive substances of the resources that David is given. This world, and even good-minded and well-knowing preachers, oftentimes give you resources that you have not proven. You and I must stick to what has been proven in our lives. And those things too, now don't misunderstand me, those things too that have been proven in others' lives that you see very evidences of. Why did David not trust those? Because he remembered those things. He recalled, if you will, those instances where those things had proven true. They've been proven tried and true. When the bear and when the lion came, it was those things that he had already had that got him through the battle. Now, that is with the help of the Lord. We don't want to emphasize the resources over the Redeemer. Devotion towards his response about rewards and devotion now towards the resources that he's been given. He's confirmed them that they are good. And lastly, and I'll be done, and maybe you've made a something out of this. But lastly, we see a depiction of the Savior. We see a depiction. The Old Testament is full, and I see a lot of gray hair out here. I see a lot of spectacles of men in suits out there. You know that the Old Testament is full of pictures of Christ. And the depiction that we find here of the Savior in David, as he comes into his own, and what his own receive him not. They don't want anything to do with what he is saying. Those in closer, they don't want nothing to do with it. They swell up in pride. My, what a picture of Christ as he comes and say, and he says, as David says, this is the way, this is what we are supposed to be doing. And as Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Both are rejected. Neither won't part. This is the depiction of the Savior and redeeming of a people. As David goes out, and as you read the rest of the story, David goes out and faces the giant that nobody else could face and defeats this foe. Reminds you of Luke chapter 4, does it not? As after being anointed by the Holy Ghost, as David was anointed with oil, shortly after, soon faces the great giant to be tempted in the wilderness by that of Satan. He redeems a people from destruction, redeems a people from bondage, and redeems a people from defeat. Can I ask you this morning, whom are you trusting in? Or what are you trusting in? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Because it didn't make sense for little old David to go out with his 5 smooth stones, his sling and his staff, to face a well-armored and well-abled foe. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.